Okay, good evening. Chodesh Tov to everybody. Our special Nissan Shir at the Young Israel of Holosuet. Thank you for Adina for arranging and inviting me to speak, and for everybody for coming out to learn with us this evening. So it's a Rosh Chodesh Shir, and it's also pre-Pesach Shir, because not only is it just Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, but it is also, of course, coming up to Chag HaPesach, Chag HaAviv, Zman Cheroseinu, which is how Pesach is known, the time of our freedom, and Chag HaMatzos. And no discussion or learning about Chodesh Nisan in particular and pre-Pesach is complete without looking into Parshas Bo. I've given a number of shirim in a number of different venues, some of which are online. It's so much focused around Parshas Bo, because the first four parashios of the book of Shemos really cover the story of Shibud Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shemos is the Shibud, the Egyptian enslavement. Shemos, Va'era, Bo are the Makos, the ten Makos divided between two parashios. And we have, of course, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Parshas Bo, the Korban Pesach, not in that order. B'Shalach is also included in Chag HaPesach, because B'Shalach is Shvi Shal Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, which is Kriyas Yamsuf. Where does our story begin? I just gave a shiur yesterday afternoon on Perek Aleph of Shemos. We're skipping ahead to Perek Yudbis. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "Hachodesh hazeh lachem." This month is for you. Hashem comes to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he tells them or commands them to instruct the Bnei Yisrael about Rosh Chodesh. And it is a Yom Tov, it is a celebration that we have every month. It's a chance for renewal, it's a chance for rejuvenation, it's a chance for new beginnings every single month. When was this commanded to us? Back in Egypt. We were not yet a free people, we were still in Egypt, as the Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem el Moshe v'el Aaron, that could be any Pasuk. But Eretz Mitzrayim Lemur, it's make sure to tell us Mitzrayim, the 3 weeks between Shivasar Batamas and Tisha B'Av are known as Bein HaMitzarim. Mitzrayim doesn't only mean Egypt, it means in the straits or in the narrow places. We were still in the narrow straits, in the place of Egypt. And God comes and he says, you're about to be freed, you're not freed yet, and I have a command for you. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this month is for you. Rosh Chodashim, the first of the months. Rishon Hu Lachem, Lachad Shei Hashana, this is the first of the months of the year. And Rashi makes it very clear, which month was it? Nisan. So when Moshe was commanded about Rosh Chodesh, Moshe and Aaron commanded about Rosh Chodesh, it wasn't Stam any Rosh Chodesh, it was just the anniversary, this past Shabbos, of Hashem coming to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt and saying, this month is for you. So the year begins according to the count in the Torah, even though traditionally we begin counting by Tishrei. The truth of the matter is the Torah begins counting the months from Nisan. So when the Torah tells us that Aaron died in the fifth month, that's Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. The Torah counts the months from Nisan. And Rashi says, this month, this was the month of Nisan. What did Hashem do? HaChodesh HaZeh. Zeh in the Torah indicates, I'm showing you something. This is my watch. I'm showing you my watch. Not, I have a watch. Zeh. When it comes to Ma'acholos Asuras and Ma'acholos Mutoris in Shmini, which we just had, Zos HaChaya Asher Tochlu. And Rashi, the Mepharshim, say, this is the animal you may eat. Moshe held up all the birds and said, this you may eat, this you may not eat. He showed it to them. HaCholosh HaZelachem. So Rashi says, Her'ahu Levana B'chidusha. Hashem showed him the new moon in its renewal. And he said, this is the new month. When it looks like this, this is Rosh Chodesh. After Rosh Chodesh, that's Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, chapter 12, verse 2. Then, Dabru al Ko Adas Yisrael Lemor. Then comes the second command. What's the second command in Parshas Bo? Korban Pesach. Speak to the assembly of Israel on the 10th of the month. Everybody should take a lamb for the house, a lamb for the father's house. If they don't have enough, they should go to the neighbor. They should do Korban Pesach. If anybody's interested, I just gave a half hour shiur on Korban Pesach. It's on OU Torah. You have to be able to find everything. OU Torah, Women's Initiative, Rosh Chodesh Shir. It's a video shiur. It's half hour. Okay. So, Korban Pesach is really the celebration and the korban that symbolizes our freedom. And Parshas Bo is all about our freedom. We have the last three Makos in the beginning of Parshas Bo, and then we have Korban Pesach, and we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, and it seems very out of place that the Ribono Shel Olam, the Almighty, chooses to begin this chapter or this section in the Torah with Rosh Chodesh. What is Rosh Chodesh doing here? Isn't there a better time in the Torah to tell me about Rosh Chodesh? And yet it seems to be, no, there is no better time. The introduction to our journey to freedom begins with HaChodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodashim. And that's very compelling. In fact, Rosh Chodesh is the first national mitzvah. When we come to Rosh Chodesh, yes, we say halal, and maybe we have a minhag not to do laundry, even though I saw a couple of years ago from the OU Halacha Yombis, I was so happy, that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach Zatzal Paskin, that today doing laundry is not really, I'm not giving a psak, I'm repeating, because I don't give any piskei halacha, I'm repeating what OU Halacha Yombis sent out in the name of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Today, laundry is not really considered malacha on Rosh Chodesh, so women are allowed to do it because the push of a button is not considered malacha. My mother says she remembers her mother, Allah Shah Holocaust survivor, she had a ringer washer. So when I complain that I have too much laundry to do, I should think of what was entailed in the olden days. Oh, so Rosh Hashanah and Paskins today, doing laundry is not malacha asura because all you have to do is push a button. It's not intensive labor. So along comes the Torah and it says you're about to be a free people. You're going to do a Korban Pesach. You're going to roast a lamb, a matzah, you and your neighbor, Shachan Akarav El Beso. How should you eat the Korban Pesach with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, in haste? You're about to leave to freedom. And it is in Parshas Bo where we learn, that in the midst of this very day, we left Egypt. Makos Bechoros is in this week's Parsha. That's what Chodesh is doing here. And it leads us to understand the beginning of time, like the title and the symbol of redemption. Why did Hashem, we can't say why. What do we learn from the fact that Hashem chose Rosh Chodesh as the first national mitzvah? If you say, what does it mean to be a Jew? What's like the most important mitzvah? Yom Kippur is pretty important. Rosh Hashanah and Kiyas Shofar is pretty important. These are all mitzvahs to Raisa. Eating matzah on Pesach is pretty important. Shabbos, where would we be without Shabbos? It's not that the Jews kept Shabbos, it's that Shabbos kept the Jews, as the saying goes. I could think of some very important mitzvahs that seem to be much weightier than Rosh Chodesh. I mean, it's a new month, it's very nice, chance for renewal, the moon wanes and waxes, we wax and wanes, very nice. But the first national mitzvah, you know, God appears and he says, I have something so important to tell you. And we would think that all these other mitzvahs, perhaps, now Rosh Chodesh could be somewhere in here, but why is it first? It's before chapter 20, Perachov, and the first of the Aseret Hadibros, the first of the Ten Commandments. It's before Shabbos, which we commanded in Parshas Beshalach, the chapter after. I once heard Rabbi Zecharia Wallerstein say something. It was like, I don't know how long ago. I wasn't teaching yet, so this goes back a long time ago. And I heard a shiur. I don't remember anything he said except for one line. I remember where he spoke, Congregation Shari Tfila. He said, a slave can only say one word. What word can the slave say? Not literally, he can only say one word, but he only has power over one word.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. A slave can only say one word. What? Yes. Let's say the master says, it's time to serve me breakfast. And the slave says, I don't know. Sofsman Kriya Shema, I really need to go to Davin. So what does the master say? Too bad. And the master says, now it's time to hoe the field or till the field or whatever they did in the field. The slave says, the sun is setting, it's time for mincha. The master says, either do this or I'm going to kill you. Why is Rosh Chodesh the first mitzvah? Because it's the gift of time. It sounds so cliche. And it's so true. It's the gift of time. Without the ownership of time, we can do nothing else. Korban Pesach is very nice. But what's the 10th of the month? What's the 14th of the month? What's Yetzias Mitzrayim on the 15th of the month if I don't own time? If I own time, I have potential for everything. And if I don't own time, I own nothing. My grandfather, whose memoirs I quote so often, he left the 7 pages. It's called In 7 Camps in 3 Years. It was written in Yiddish, and my mother paid to have it professionally translated. So he writes that after a hard day of slave labor in Budzin, they came back to the barracks. They gathered quickly so Ne'ilah could be davened with a minyan. I can't imagine. Obviously, I can't imagine. But what is Yom Kippur if you don't own time, if the taskmaster is standing over you? Their lives with mortar and bricks, with every work of the field. You don't own time, so what could you daven with a minyan if you don't own time? Could you put on tefillin bizman if you don't own time? Could you say mincha? Could you eat matzah in the right time? If you own time, you own the world. And if you don't own time, you own nothing. And so the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what's the beginning of redemption? Time. HaChodesh HaZalachem Chodesh is Chadash, is Chidush. Chodesh, the word we use for month, is also new and renewal. Because with time, we have a chance to constantly renew, and without time, life is stagnant. Life is meaningless. Life is worthless. It's such a Musar Haska. It's such a frightening thought in today's day and age. When we waste, this is a recorder, it's on airplane mode. When we waste so much time, all the time, perhaps not certain generations, but certainly up-and-coming generations, where our whole lives sometimes revolved around this device, and it's frightening. Ford Motor Company, back in the day, had a very catchy slogan. Ford has a better idea. One of their original ideas was a unique top to the car key. It enabled the driver to, remember when we had keys? Now we don't even have that anymore. To insert the key into the ignition without looking at which way the key was facing. I guess in the olden days, if anyone remembers the old house keys, they were like this. You had to make sure the key was the right way. Then they advanced to car keys, where I remember mine used to be like this. You didn't have to make sure that the key was up or down. You just put it in. This would save people time to figure out which way to insert the key. You think, how much time are you saving? But Lamaisa, you're saving. It's like Tide Pods. Does anyone use them like me? They're great. You don't have to measure the detergent. Just throw in the pots. Rav Gifter Zatzal gave a fiery schmooze to the Bachum on this matter. He says, this is a great idea, a key which goes in both ways, but what do we do with the time we have saved? If we waste it, we have gained nothing. Time is centuries, it's decades, it's millennia, it's years, it's months, weeks, hours, minutes, seconds. It's 37 years of davening and praying for one soldier to come home. For God, time, there is no time. The Ribbono Shel Olam is above and beyond time. A man's whole life is time bound. Something we don't think about too much, perhaps, as we go through the daily grind until Chalila, we don't have it anymore. And then we stop and we take stock and we say, wow, look how fast it goes. I have a friend who, Rachmana Letzlan, lost a young child. And I recently went with her to visit the Beis HaChaim at her son's kever. And her son, Kenzie, is Neshama Shev and Aliyah, a young, innocent child. Kadosh, a tahor, pure, not sins. And he is buried in the section with grandparents and great-grandparents, great-uncles, aunts. And she said to me, standing there, it was very quiet, there was no one else, it was just us there. It was in the fall, we went. She said, you know, Micha, life is so fast. She said, if you're 3 and a half, if you're 83, if you're 53, it all just passes in the blink of an eye. We have a limited amount of days. We sometimes think our life here is endless. We sometimes think there's no ration. That's what she said to me. It was a very moving visit, very painful, very meaningful. She said, it's so fast, no matter the age. Havar ha'ayin, ha'asir adayin, v'ha'hove keharif ayin. Havar adayin, the past is not here. Asira dayan, the future's not here. The Hahova, the present, terrifying. I always think about that, the present. What's the present? We started this shiur about 10 to 15 minutes ago. That's already the past. Those introductions, that was the past. What's even the present? It's almost that there is no present. That sentence I just said was the past. In 30 seconds, it's going to be the future. There's almost no present. And yet we have to make sure that we live in a way where we understand HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. God says to you, you want to be free? You want to do Korban Pesach? That's very nice. You want to collect the jewelry from the Egyptian neighbors for reparations? That's very nice. It's part of the prophecy to Aram. You want to leave Egypt and cross the Red Sea and you want to go to Matan Torah? Not yet. Sorry. Ashonos Geula refers to the promise of Matan Torah. So it's great. You're going to hear Anochi Hashem El Kecha. You're going to hear Lo Yelechai Lo Mechirim Al Pana. Lo Tisa Hashem Hashem El Kecha L'Shav. Zachar Siyam Mashabbos Akadsho. But how could you observe Shabbos if you don't have Chodesh? How could you observe anything if you don't appreciate and live in the moment of time? What is mortal man? Hayom Kan U'machar Bekever. The Chavetz Chaim would say life is like a postcard. You start to write and you think you have all the space in the world. So you write big and you leave a lot of space between the words and the letters. After all, there's a whole postcard to fill. And then you start to get closer to the end and you realize that postcard isn't as big as you thought. So you squeeze in the words, your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, your longings in a mad dash to get it all in before the finish line. Sometimes you don't have enough room for your most important sentiments. Sometimes you don't even have enough room to sign your name. A couple of weeks ago, Mishpacha made a big impression on me. There's this column by Mo Murnick. I don't know if anyone... Oh, I love Mishpacha. Every week I tell my family, I'm only reading it for like a year. I discovered it last year, Pesach. What was I missing all those years? It's like my Shabbos treat. So there was a column 9, I'm going to read it cover to cover. Hashem should help me have the time. You learn a lot. There's a lot to learn in there. So is anyone like Mishpacha groupie with me?
Yeah.
No? Yeah? So Mo Murnick has this column 9-5. Where he interviews, I don't know if it appears every other week, once a month, I don't know. But he interviews people in the tech world, in the business world, who have made it big, from people in the tech world who are famous in their startup companies, etc. So a couple of weeks ago was an interview with a woman. I don't remember her name, she should forgive me. But she said something that I found very impactful. And one of the questions that he asked those people that he interviews, he asks a series of questions. One of the questions that he asks is, how do you reconcile your Torah values, your religious values, with work challenges? Not always do work issues line up with Torah values. And what do you do in situations when there is conflict between your secular work values and your religious Torahic lifestyle? And she said something that I found so impactful that applies not only if you're in the business world and if you're in a startup company, but to all of us in every choice we make in every moment of time. If only we would have the seichel to think of this before we act. She answered and she said, before I do something when I have these conflicts, I think to myself, how I choose, how will I feel if that is broadcast on WhatsApp and it goes around the world tomorrow morning, my choice. How will I feel if my choice is put on the front page of every newspaper tomorrow morning? How will I feel after I choose? She says, that helps me make the right choice. The idea that everyone will know about this potentially. How will I feel? And when we're faced with choices, every choice is time. We live in time. We are time bound. While our neshamas are in Olam Hazeh, Admei Ve'asum Shana, everything we do is time bound. And every moment is replete with opportunities. And in every moment, we have choices. Rav Freifeld Zatzal said, there's no such thing as a neutral action. There is no, that's worth repeating. There is no such thing, says Rav Freifeld from Shar Yashuv Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as a neutral action. Everything we do either changes the world in a positive sense, or Chalila V'chas, it changes the world in a negative sense. And we should think to I should think to myself, this is broadcast on God's Jumbotron. How will I feel when I see it played back before me? What did you do, the Ribbono Shel Olam will say, with your time? And that's freedom. And that's redemption. Yes, when we sit down to Leil Seir, the Karban Pesach, that Rachman Alitzal, we no longer have in Yisrachnu, Me'alad Maseinu, Mipnei Chataeinu Galinu, Me'arat Seinu, so we don't have that anymore. It's important. So we eat Afikom, and we have Azro, and we have Matzah, and we have Marah, and we have Charoses. It's wonderful, it's beautiful. And we clean for Chametz, because it can't be seen, and it can't be in our possession. But if you don't have time, so what do you have? And if you have time and you squander the time, then what do you have? Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal once quoted in a shir, the Vilna God made a calculation once before Rosh Hashanah. He went through the year. He found that for 6 minutes in the year, we're talking about the Vilna God, he had not been engaged in Torah. Let's begin to learn from this, how the Gaon thought of the commodity called time. And how he spent his time, the most precious of commodities. A minute lost is lost forever. You lose $1 million, you make it back. You lose a diamond, you buy another gem to replace it. You lose 1 minute, and it will never come back. How careful we must be in counting every moment, like, believe me, I'm talking to myself. That's how the Vilna Gaon lived. Just make a calculation for yourself, said Rav Gifter, an American Gadol, Rosh Yeshiva tells. There are 365 days in a year. Every day is 24 hours. Every hour is 60 minutes. New, he said to his Talmidim, count how many minutes in a year. And before Rosh Hashanah, the Vilna Gaon saw, he wasted 6 minutes. And for those 6 minutes, he cried. Where do we stand, said Rav Gifter, when we hear such a thing? Do we know how many minutes we waste? Not in a year, in a month, in a week. Are we aware of how much time we lose in a day? Before we go to bed, we should figure it out. What did we do with our time? Sometimes with no purpose whatsoever. Do we have such a calculation? Time is one of the creations of the Hashem Yisparach. He himself is above time. Hashem is Haya, Hoveh, Vihi, Ayud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Hashem is Haya. He always was. Salvechik says, in fact, when we say the world was created, Yesh Me Ayin, say that the world was created something from nothing. So the Rav says that's not exactly true. The world was created something from something. The something that existed before the world was the Ribbono Shel Olam. But since we can't grasp what that means, so we say the world was created Yesh Me'ayim. But the Rav says it's really a misnomer. How do you pronounce that word? Yeah. Okay. Really, because it's not true. Really, before this world, what was there? The Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Yesh Me'yesh was Hashem creating the world from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He is the Ein Sof. He is the Haya. He always was. He is the Hoveh. He always is. The Yihyeh. He always will be. Ein Sof means without end. When we refer to God as eternal, it's something we cannot comprehend because mortal man is time bound and time limited. Time is not related to Hashem Yisparach. And Hashem wants us to use time for our benefit. Are we aware of it, says Rav Gifter, how we live throughout the year? And when we come back to Rosh Hashanah, what are we going to bring to him? And it goes back to what that woman entrepreneur said. I know if this is broadcast, then how will I feel about the choices I made? Well, we say, Ribbono Shel Olam, look how I took care of the commodity you gave me. Note that the word, the pasuk is, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It doesn't just say, it could just say, HaChodesh Hazeh Rosh Chodashim. Could it not just say that? Doesn't that make sense? This month, i.e. Nisan, Rosh Chodashim. It's the first of the head of the month. Rishon hu lochad sheyeshana. The pasuk is perfect. Makes perfect sense. No, what is in there? Two lochems. Two for you. HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. Rishon hu lochem lochad sheyeshana. And perhaps the two lochems, I don't know, but perhaps the two lochems refer to the idea that every Jew must maximize time as an individual. Im ein anili, mili. It says Hillel, Avos 1:14, if I'm not for myself, who is for me? Every individual must understand that time is his in the individual sense. This moment is my moment. What will I do to build myself as a person? And on the other hand, every Jew must know what's the other lachem. So tell me lachem one time. Two lachems. Isn't that redundant? I don't need a lechem in the first place. But once you put it in there, there's a lesson. What's the lesson? What will I, as an individual, do in this moment of time for me, for myself? No one's going to do it for me. And I get to Shemayim, I'm going to be accountable for my own actions. However, what's the second lechem? I have to do for the klal. I have to be oseik b'tzarchi tzibur. I have to understand that this time is not only for me as an individual, but for me to contribute to the betterment of Kehilas Yaakov, Jewish society, Am Yisrael. I live for myself, and I live for the klal. HaChodesh is Elohim. This month is yours for Chadash, for renewal, but it is also yours to see what can I do for Am Yisrael. How can I better other people? How can I benefit other people? What can I do with my time for somebody else? Sometimes it's so simple. How long does it take to send a text, an email, a WhatsApp? I'm thinking about you. How are you? Is there something I can do? I'm davening for you. It's such a small action. You don't know that it can have profound ramifications in the life of somebody else. How long did it take? It's not even a big investment of time. But it means we first have to have the machshava, the thought, that I'm thinking lachem of the greater klal. I'm using this time, this Nisan, remember this is Nisan, this month of Nisim, to better the lives not only of myself, but of everybody else. And then Rav Gifter, going back to Rav Gifter, he says, what are we going to tell Hashem? And if we know the truth, Rav Gifter says, we will be terribly ashamed. This is Rav Gifter, who I'm sure didn't waste any time. And I'm not talking to you, gentlemen, he said. I'm talking to myself. But I hope you don't mind if you hear what I'm telling myself. If we truly appreciated the value of time, every time we were engaged in something valueless, we would stop immediately and say, Gewalt. I'm taking diamonds and I'm throwing them away. We must stop wasting our time as we come to stand before Hashem Yisbarach. And Leil HaSeder is the night when we meet God. It's a night of ecstasy. It's a night of love. It's a night when we became a people to the Ribono Shel Olam. We were this scraggly group of slaves. We were embittered. We couldn't even listen to Moshe when he first appeared on the scene. Ha ha, the Redeemer's coming. Leave us alone so we could get back to work. And the work gets hard and they scream at him. And he said, we told you not to come here. Now we're not getting straw. And we still have to meet the quota. They couldn't even listen to him from shortness of breath and a broken spirit. And on this night we sit down with Ribono Shel Olam at our table. And we're your people. And here we are. And we set the Seder for the entire year. Seder means order. The words that we use to describe Leil HaSeder are very telling. Seder is order. Haggadah is to tell. Sipur is to tell a story. And it's full and it's replete with symbolism of our entire year. And on Leil HaSeder, we're always busy with something. We're never wasting a moment. I saw the following poem in a book called Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. Imagine there's a bank which credits your account each morning with $86,400. But there's one caveat. It doesn't carry over the balance from one day to the next. It allows you no cash balance. Every evening it cancels whatever amount you fail to use. So what would you do? I know, could you spend that amount of money one day? I'm not sure, but what would you do? You would make sure to spend $86,400 every day because it's not going to be there tomorrow. I'm not going to waste the money. You think you could really spend that one day? I'm asking a serious question. Every day? What? Oh, you could give it away. Very nice. Beautiful. Well, everyone has such a bank. We have a time bank. Very nice. Beautiful. Every morning, we're credited with 86,400 seconds. Every night, whatever part of that we fail to invest for a good purpose is written off as lost forever. It does not carry over. There is no overdraft. Every day is a new account. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You have to live on today's deposits. The clock is running. And then there's a poem. It's based on, I think, not a Jewish poem, but it's in this. It's a Jewish book, which is a prayer. To realize the value of 1 year, ask the student who failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask the mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, this must have been written a little while ago, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a Shabbos observer. You know, it's very interesting. In one of my weekly shiurim in Lawrence, so there is a woman, a very inspiring woman, who learns with us, for sure for 3 or 4 years already. She's on the process of becoming a Choseres B'tshuva, and a very brave and courageous woman. And sometimes she puts Shabbos in a new light. To realize the value of 1 day, ask the Shabbos observer. And she says, how lucky we are that when Shabbos comes, we shut everything off. Even if we struggle with it for 6 other days of the week. When Shabbos comes, all the technology goes off, everything is closed, we don't have distractions. She says, it's such a gift, you're so fortunate. And sometimes because we take it for granted, we don't appreciate the value of that gift. To realize the value of 1 day, ask the Shabbos observer. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the person who studies Daf Yomi. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed the train. To realize the value of a second, ask the person who avoided an accident. To realize the value of a millisecond, ask the silver medalist. The Ramchal writes in his classic work, Mesilas Yesharim, Adam do'eg al ibud damav, ve'eno do'eg al ibud yamav. Man worries about the loss of money, but he does not worry about the loss of his days. My brother just sent me a 1 minute, 1.5 minute, video clip the other night. I keep thinking about Rav Elimelech Biderman. He's a big Chassidish mashpia in Eretz Yisrael. So he sends out these daily inspiration app. He doesn't send out. Somebody transcribes 1.5 minutes daily inspiration and they send it out to subscribers. So my brother sent it to me. So a person came to the school in the Rebbe Zatzal. This is what Rav Biderman was saying. It was in Yiddish with English subtitles. A person came to the school in the Rebbe Zatzal, and he said, he did so much hishtadlus for Parnas. So he did hishtadlus, he did hishtadlus, he did hishtadlus. He put in all of his effort. It's not working. He says, I see it's all up to Hashem. I give up. I'm not doing any more hishtadlus. It's not working anyway. I realize God is in control. So the school in the Rebbe said to him, you know what you have to do? Now you have to go do your hishtadlus. Before you weren't doing hishtadlus. Before it was kafira. How do you translate kafira? Heresy. Am I saying right? Heresy? Yeah? Before, you thought you were in charge. You keep saying, I was doing the shtadlus. I tried. I put in my effort. Now you realize it's all up to Hashem. Now you go do your shtadlus. Now your shtadlus is a mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, with the right mind frame. Now you realize it's not you. It's God. Now go do your shtadlus. Now your shtadlus will work. And then Rabbi Nima goes on, and he says, a person came to the Chavetz Chaim, and he said he had a horse and a wagon. And with this horse and wagon, this horse and buggy, he would load up his wares every day. He was a peddler. And he would go to peddle his wares every day in town. The horse died. And he comes to the Chavetz Chaim, and he says, my horse died. I can't stop crying. My horse was the source of my income. So the Chavetz Chaim says, if you think the horse was the source of your income, you have good reason to cry. If you think the horse was your income, of course you should cry. Adam do'eg al ibud damav. Oy, my horse died. Chavetz Chaim said, you think Hashem won't send you a different horse? Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, we all have our horse. That's the source. How much time? Now, by the way, please, we're making Pesach, and there are expenses, and we give tzedakah, there's maus chitim, there's kimcha de pischa, we need to stock our pantries, Baruch Hashem in America, no one is starving in our communities. I'm not recommending you should all go home and give up your day jobs. And daven all day, you should daven and do your shtadlus. We have to be aware, though, where it's coming from. Adam do'eg al ibud damav. I'm so worried about the loss of my money. You have to do normal shtadlus. Do I worry more about that, or do I worry more about my days, my minutes, my time I just lost? Sometimes this thing drives me crazy. I can't take it. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I cleaned my pantry for Pesach. At 4:30, I put this on airplane mode, not because I was in shiur and it was on recorder. plane, airplane mode at 4:30 p.m. And I didn't check it till 8 o'clock. I feel like I won the lottery. 8 p.m. Now, someone who doesn't have a smartphone can't relate to that. I took my boys on errands. I didn't take it with me. One caveat, my daughter says, I was trying to reach you. Where were you? Okay, maybe I should have told her before I went out. I'm not taking my phone with me. But I couldn't take it. 4:30 to 8 o'clock, I felt like I won a gold medal. It's hard. Adam do'eg al ibud damav ve'eno do'eg al ibud yamav. Damav enam ozrim ve'yamav enam chozrim. At the end of the day, tovi toras picha me'alfei zahav v'kesef. At the end of the day, I cannot take one thing of gashmius from this world with me. Not one thing. And I'm talking to myself. Dama ve'enam ozrim. Yeshiva Shomala, all those horses are not going to help me. V'yamav enam chozrim. And my days are never coming back. I'm sure you have heard the famous story of Baron Rothschild. Maybe you heard it from me, maybe you heard it from somebody else. Very wealthy Rothschild family from Europe. And then Baron passed away, and he left two envelopes. You heard this, bear with me. He left two envelopes. The first one said, open it right away after I die. And the second one said, open it after the Shloshim. Right away, I open it after his patira. Says to my dear children, I have one last request. Bury me in my socks. They go to the Chevra Kedisha in the town. They say, our father had a crest. He held up the town. He held up the community. He was a wealthy gevir. He was Osek B'tzarchei Tzibur. He wants to be buried in the socks. So the Chevra Kedisha says, that's very nice. But now your father's in the eternal world of truth. We are sure that even he realizes once he's up there that he cannot be buried in his socks. We cannot honor the request. He wasn't buried in his socks. At the Shloshim, they opened the next envelope. And the next envelope said, my dear children, I'm sure by now you have learned that no matter how much money a man amasses in life, at the end of the day, he cannot even take a pair of socks. Pam achas ha'isi holeich b'darach upaga bi adam echad. One time, says Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, I was walking on the way and I met a certain man. And he gave me shalom aleichem. Echzarti lo shalom. I gave him aleichem shalom. Rabbi, me'ezo makamata. Rabbi, where are you from? I'm from a place of sofrim, of scholars and scribes. Rabbi, ritzoncha shetadur imanu. How about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, you come live with us and you leave your place of Torah. And I will give you Aleph, Alfei, Alafim, Vidin, Rei, Zahav, Aravanim, Tovus, Umar, Golios. I'll give you gems, I'll give you pearls, I'll give you the lottery, I'll give you the Powerball. What's it called, the Powerball? Mega Millions. I can't say I wouldn't like to win it. I would like to win it. So he said to Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, I'll give you all the money in the world. Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said him, Ata nosingli. Kol zaha v'kesev avanim tovos umargolio sheba'olam. Ein anidar ela b'makam Torah. Forgive me all the money in the world. I will not come live with you if it is not a place of Torah. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Tov li Torah spicha me alfa zaha v'kesev. Adam do'eg. Al ibud damav. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We do have to have a normal degree of concern over parnasa. We live in Olam Hazan. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam made it, we have to do ishtaras and we have to make parnasa. Ve'enu doeg al ibud yamav. Damav enam ozrim. Ve'yamav enam chozrim. And maybe every day we should ask ourselves, how did we fulfill this mitzvah? Ha'chodesh hazeh lachem. What did I do today in the minutes that I had with my 86,000 plus seconds to make myself a better person? Maybe some days I could answer positive, and maybe some days I won't have a positive answer. I don't know. I believe Yitzchak of Berdichev, the great defender of the Jews. You know what I'm working on? I never said this anywhere. Yet. I'm about to say now. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who is known as the great defender of the Jews, the great Berdichever, would say every night before he went to bed, remind me that I want to say what I didn't say yet. Anywhere else. Not this. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev would say every night before he went to sleep, Levi Yitzchak, let's do a chashbon nefesh, an accounting of the soul. What was good today? What was a loss today? And every day he would make his list. And every day he would say, every night he would say, Levi Yitzchak, tomorrow you'll be better. And the other side of himself would say, Levi Yitzchak, you said that yesterday. And he would say back, but tonight I really mean it. And every night we need to ask ourselves, did I fulfill this mitzvah? Shmos Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Beis. Not only on Rosh Chodesh. Did I say Hallel? Did I add Yalav V'Yavo? Did I wear nice clothing? Did I refrain from malacha? Whether you do laundry or like Rosh Hashanah Paskins, you do laundry, you don't do laundry. Did you observe Rosh Chodesh? But did you live Rosh Chodesh? Lachem? What did I do today to make myself a better person? So what am I trying to do? I'm really trying to do this. It's hard sometimes to be a liros tov. Maybe not for you. Sometimes it's hard to always see things in a positive light. In life, it's not always easy. So I'm really doing this. Hashem shouldn't take it away from me because I'm saying it. Maybe it could help somebody else. So therefore, I'm sharing it with you. I'm not mishnah to share this anyway. I wasn't even planning to share it until I told the story of Levi Yitzchak Berdichev making a cheshbon nefesh. So when I feel I don't have an ayin tova, a negative thoughts come into my mind, one of the causes of lashon hara, the Gemara says in Maseches Arachin, is tsarus ayin, a stingy eye, a narrow eye. So I say to myself, what would Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev say if he was here? I say to myself, no, I'm being serious. I'm really not making a joke. If I see things in a whether it's in a situation that I'm in, or a person, or something that God gave me, or the way things are turning out, and I think something negative, I really say to myself, Michal, what would Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev have said if he was here? I'm only telling you because it's sort of bli ayin hara, Baruch Hashem, working in that it helps realign my thoughts. Maybe it could help somebody else. What would Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev say? He was always focusing on the good. You know the famous story, he met a Jew in Yom Kippur eating in the street, and he says, Rabbi Yid, maybe you don't know it's Yom Kippur. And the Jew said, I know it's Yom Kippur. He said, maybe you don't know you're supposed to be in shul today. You smoke a cigarette. He says, I know I'm supposed to be, or a pipe, whatever they had. I know I'm supposed to be in shul today. Maybe you don't know you're not allowed to eat today. I know I'm not allowed to eat today. And Rav Levi Yitzchak looked up at Shemayim. He says, Hashem, the Torah says, Parshas Mishpatim, Midvar Shaker Tirchak. Look at your children. They're so honest, they never tell a lie. So when I find myself in a matzav where I have tsarus ayin instead of ayin tova, I'm working on that. So every day we have to ask ourselves, what did I do to fulfill this mitzvah? What did I do, HaChodesh HaZelacham, the first aspect that we're understanding, to make myself into a better person, to maximize my time, to put this thing on airplane mode sometimes because I can't take it. One epoch, one holding back. One epoch is so precious to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Say, Michal, don't check it. Even if you don't check it this second and you come back and you check it in a minute, don't look at it. One epoch. One holding back. Doing one thing different with your time is so precious to Ribbono Shel Olam. How will you feel when it's plastered on the Jumbotron tomorrow morning, broadcast around the world? How will I feel? Ayom kan mechar bekever. HaChodesh hazeh lochem. I give you the gift of chidush, of renewal, of chadash every day, not only every month. Nothing symbolizes freedom more than time. That's why it's the first mitzvah. Everything else comes after this. Everything else comes after this. Sfiras ha'omer. We're coming up to the count, the saper, the spar. We are a time-bound people. What's the halacha? If you miss one day, with a bracha, so you can't count anymore with a bracha. What do you learn from that? I'm not talking halachically, hashkafically. Every day is its own unit of time that deserves a new blessing. Every single day is chadash. This day needs a bracha. Wouldn't it be sensible to make one bracha at the beginning and with a shachianu? And then you just count to the end. Isn't it one unit? One long mitzvah, 49 days? No. No, it's not. It's 49 units of time. Every day is worthy of Baruch Atah Hashem. Blessed are you, God, because today you gave me a new chance to count my time again. I can start all over. So if I miss a day, I didn't just miss the mitzvah, which I did, but it shows I have a lack of understanding in the power of what this day represents. It means I don't appreciate that it's not one schlepped out mitzvah. It's 49 mitzvos. It's 49 days. Lispar Sfirat HaOmer. It's 49 counts, not one count. And if I miss a day, then hashkafically, I cannot continue because I need to learn what was just lost. Damav Einam Ozrim, V'yamav Einam Chozrim. So if I missed day 7, then I missed the whole rest of the camp. Shamsher Falhirsch says, so interestingly, Rosh Chodesh is a mo'ed. A mo'ed, how do you define mo'ed? An appointed time, or a festival. Festival or appointed time, right? Ge'in Mo'ed, or in Yiddish, or Mo'adim L'Simcha. Or Moed Tov, Chol HaMoed. It's an appointed time to meet with God. Rav Shamsher Falhirsch says something very interesting in his commentary on Chumash to this mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh and Parshas Bo. All the other Moedim are associated with a historical event. Shavuos is associated with Matan Torah. Pesach is associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim. This isn't a trick question. Sukkot is associated with Pesukos Hoshav, the Bnei Yisrael, Beotzeis Yisrael, Amim Mitzrayim. Every other Moed, appointed time, every day we say, at the end of Ein Kelkeinu, we call a pasuk from Tehillim, Ata Takum Terachim Tzion, Ke'esa Chanan Akiva Moed. Isn't it time, Hashem? Isn't it time? Do we have to wait 37 years to bury our soldiers, to bury our Jewish children? Isn't it time? Every other Yom Tov, every other Moed is associated with a historical time. What about Rosh Chodesh? Moed is a time to meet with God. It is not a meeting of the heavenly bodies, says Rosh Hashanah Falhirsch. It's not a meeting of the moon and the sun. It's not any natural phenomenon that produces the Moed of Rosh Chodesh. Each time the moon renews and receives new light, Hashem wants us to find our way back to Him. That's the Moed of Rosh Chodesh, says Rosh Hashanah Falhirsch. Every time the moon renews and receives new light from the sun, what is the Moed? Hashem wants us to find our way back to Him. No matter where we may be, no matter what periods of darkness we have to pass through in our history. That's the Moed of Rosh Chodesh. It is a pure meeting between God and Knesset Yisrael. It is not associated with any event in time or any historical journey that our people took. The encounter between the moon and the sun is a symbol of the occasion of our reunion with God. The reunion of the moon, the renewal of the moon, is an occasion for our own renewal. Which brings us, of course, to Chadash and Chidosh. And we have to make sure we're not sleeping our lives away. We have to make sure we're not sleeping our days away. And we're not sleeping our minutes away. They once came to the Chavetz Chaim and they said there was a bachur in Redin who needed a refuah. Could he donate some of his learning time? for this boy's refuah shleima. So the Chavetz Chaim said, yes, I donate 1 minute for that boy's refuah shleima. Was he cheap? He was teaching us the value in 1 minute of time. The Chavetz Chaim understood 1 minute of Torah learning is so powerful that it has the potential to change this person's life, to bring him a refuah. Because in the blink of an eye, when we started this year, it's the past. When I say my final word, it will be the future. And the present, Keharaf Ayin, goes in the blink of an eye. As we come to the month, we are in the month of Nisan, as we come to the Yom Tov of Pesach, let's remember how it all began. It did begin with Karban Pesach. It didn't begin with Malchus Bechoros, which comes after. It didn't begin with Yitziat Mitzrayim. Our journey to freedom began with Ribon Sholom saying, this month is for you as an individual. This month is for you to contribute to the Klal. Rav Steinman, Zeichot Tzadik, Kadosh Levracha, Schuso Yagin Aleinu, mused about the value of longevity. And he lived to a very ripe old age. And Rav Steinman said, quote, on the one hand, there is value to longevity. You can do more mitzvos. On the other hand, you will need to account in the heavenly tribunal for every single second. I always think to myself, said the Gaon, what is preferable? A man who lives to a ripe old age and needs to account for every second, or a man who does not, and by definition has less of an accounting to give. Chodesh Azar Lachem. Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the most amazing, precious gift that does not have value in the entire world. When it's broadcast on the Jumbotron tomorrow morning, how will I feel about the choices I've made in the here and the now? And therefore, Rosh Chodesh is the symbol of freedom and the beginning of time. I wish you all a very meaningful Nisan and a Chag Kasher v'Sameach for you and your families and besoros tovos for all. Amen v'amen. V'Nisan Yigalu, V'Nisan Asidin the Gaal.